This is KUOW, Seattle. The Washington Department of Transportation is building the deep bore tunnel under Seattle's downtown and rebuilding the 520 bridge. Beyond these mega projects, WashDOT, as it's called, maintains 20,000 miles of highway, 3,500 bridges. Plus, they run the Washington State Ferry System, which is the nation's largest, more than 6,800 employees. And the Secretary of Transportation in charge of all this since last spring is Lynn Peterson. Lynn Peterson, thanks for coming back.
Good morning. Thank you.
And maybe you've got some questions for her about the Washington Department of Transportation. Give us a call, 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. If you're outside our area, 800-289-5869. Or if you'd prefer, you can write to us, conversation@kuow.org. Lynn Peterson, last week we learned that fixing those cracked pontoons on the new Highway 520 bridge is going to cost more than $81 million, and more expenses are expected. The 520 project had, at some point along the line, been under budget. What's the big picture now?
Well, I think that what we're finding is that the reason you have reserves is for when issues like this come up, and we will work to stay within budget as much as we possibly can, but we're still looking at those other expenses and for the changes to the construction of the pontoons in cycles 3 through 6.
You know, your predecessor was here, and I asked about the initial cost overruns, and she emphasized that, well, we're still overall under budget. That doesn't sound like you can make that promise today.
Well, I think that what we're looking at is just trying to figure out of the reserves that we have left.
Yeah. The multi-million dollar cost overruns were because of design areas made by the Department of Transportation before you got there. And your boss, Jay Inslee, has promised we'll never see those mistakes again. What have you done since you took office to make sure we won't see a recurrence of mistakes like that?
So we've had a review that's been ongoing by two outstanding experts in the field of mega project management. And really, that's where a lot of the issues that were brought up during the review that happened before I came on. It was about the management and decisions that led up to the contracting of that project. And so we are working to implement while they make recommendations, and they should be coming out with their full report this fall.
The state legislature adjourned without passing a transportation package that was backed by the governor. It included talk of a 10-cent a gallon gas tax, and Senate leaders said we can come up with a better package in the next legislative session. From your perspective as Secretary of Transportation, can the state wait?
That's a good question. I think there are a lot of needs out there and a lot of kind of things that are going to start happening because a package didn't get passed, including transit cuts across the state, the Columbia River crossing that we, you know, have a deadline coming up as well on a decision whether the feds will put money in or not. And we ourselves have, as you pointed out at the beginning, a huge system of assets that need to be maintained. And without an infusion of preservation and maintenance money, we're looking at a 52% decrease mm-hmm. over the next 6 years in the amount of preservation money we have available. So because of that decrease, we're looking internally again at our asset management and what that means. I was just down in San Francisco listening to CEOs of the Western states, and Texas said that and Texas is a state that has in the past done a good job of being able to keep their revenues coming in to be able to manage their assets. And they're talking about actual state highways going to gravel now, mm-hmm. 70 miles in the next 2 years and up to 430 miles over time. And, you know, cities and counties have already had to do that. So the states are just about a decade behind really difficult decisions cities and counties have had to make. So we're looking internally at what is the prioritization of projects within our system that we will maintain at high levels versus lower levels.
Well, as you mentioned, one of the other casualties of not having this transportation package pass was the project that Washington's share of rebuilding the I-5 bridge between Portland and Vancouver, Washington, the Columbia Crossing. Is this a dead deal here in Washington State? The deadline is coming up next month in Oregon, but there's no money appropriated here. Is this pretty much over for now?
Since we were not authorized to proceed, July 1st, we went down and did a stop work on all consultants, all work associated with our employees. And by the end of the week, had terminated most of those contracts or were in the process of termination. And because we couldn't do a complete closure and we had to pull our WSDOT resources out, Oregon has continued on trying to complete studies to make sure that if and when somebody decides to pick this project up again, those studies are complete. And we have just been able to archive the information and studies and everything that we had been doing to date. So that's the only legal thing that we could do.
You know, some state senators are saying we have to have reform in the transportation department before we pass a transportation package like this. And here's one of the things they point to. We're talking about the 520 bridge. They say, look, it costs $4.6 billion. If you take the inflation-adjusted cost of the original 1961 520 bridge, that's only $159 million. Okay, we're getting a couple of extra lanes, but why is it so much more? They don't get it. Is it fair to compare those two numbers?
You know, I think what we're looking at now in today's world is a global competition for natural resources. We compete with countries that are putting a lot more of their GDP in, so they're able to purchase a lot of natural resources across the world. So that cost has gone up. The cost to do business, obviously, with inflation has gone up. And we are looking at much higher standards today in terms of seismic standards than they were back then. So that's just a handful of off the top reasons why I think we have a much different situation today than they would have had, you know, building the interstate system in the 50s.
Lynn Peterson, Secretary of Transportation, is with us for a few more minutes. We're at 206-543-5869, 800-289-5869. You can write to us, conversation@kuow.org. Seattle officials have been complaining about screw-ups by the state's Highway 99 tunnel contractor. They say that's resulted in workers being exposed to raw sewage, spills into Elliott Bay, and damage to live electrical facilities underground. Seattle City Light and Seattle Public Utilities officials have said that the contractors for you have been dishonest in their explanations. Has your contractor been honest with the city about some of these screw-ups that they've noted?
This is the first time I've heard about the specific issue, so I will be looking into it.
Okay, we'll check back with you and find you've not heard about these problems from the city officials complaining about your contractors on the 99 project?
Not on these specific issues that you just mentioned.
Okay, we'll get back to you on that. Steve wrote to us. He had lots of questions. Among them, he wrote, given that the Skagit Bridge collapse and the clear need to focus on maintenance of our roads and bridges, how can you justify pushing so hard for the transportation package this year, which, Steve says, devoted fewer than one out of every $8 to maintenance needs?
So, as I said, we do have a large gap coming up in our maintenance needs, and we are going to have to make some hard decisions on how to prioritize. We would obviously like to make sure that we can maintain a road system up to its level of service that it needs to be, so it doesn't cost future generations more to redo these roads in the future. So that is a priority. It was a priority for, I think, everybody going into the session. The needs around the state are so great on the expansion of system, the capital projects for safety, that it is hard, mm-hmm. When it comes down to it, to figure out and prioritize as you go through the session. But I think that everybody was doing their utmost to make sure that preservation was kept at a high value.
Steve seems to be saying not high enough. He said fewer than one in $8 to maintenance needs to preservation. First of all, do you think that that's generally accurate? And if so, why do you think that's enough?
You know, the governor put out his principles in the session, and making sure that we maintain our assets was number one in his priority list. And he continued to make sure that that message was out there and people were working on it throughout the session. He was an amazing leader on that, and finishing what we have already started, finishing projects, completing projects that had been started.
So you think maintenance is reflected in the package that ended up not going forward?
It was a good start.
Let's go to Lisa, who's listening to us today on Queen Anne. If you just tuned in, we're talking to the state's Secretary of Transportation, Lynn Peterson. She's been on the job since spring, but she's been on long enough to answer your questions now. Lisa, thanks for calling. What's your question?
Yes, thank you. Many of us in Seattle support mass transit. I know that you just went through the issue regarding the engineering problems of the floating bridge. Our concern is that this deep bore tunnel was forced down the throat of Seattle voters who voted against it twice, and now here we go for the deep bore tunnel. We're concerned that the engineering is going to have problems just like the floating bridge had problems, cost overruns. Who's going to pay for this? She said the report is not going to come out until this fall regarding the problems that we had with the floating bridge. All of us are not happy with this deep bore tunnel. Where are we going from here?
Secretary Peterson.
So, you know, let's go back to the mass transit is such an important part of our urban environment. And there is a lot of support at the state level and within the department to make sure that as we plan for the future, that mass transit is a part of that equation and that we consider in the core the amazing number of corridors that we have throughout the this region and other urban areas, that we make sure that transit is a part of the equation for the total capacity within that corridor to move people where they need to go. So we're going to continue to be a very good partner as we move along with Sound Transit, with King County, with all of the transit providers out there to make sure that they're a part of our total system as we consider it moving into the future.
Let's go to Mark now, who wrote to us with a question about the ferries. He writes, as a resident of the East Side with in-laws who live on San Juan Island, we've always wondered why the ferry system doesn't incorporate a reserve ticket system for its ferries. We would gladly pay for a reserved placement on the ferry. If you're not at the ticket booth within 15 minutes of loading and you lose your money and your spot on the ferry, then a standby lane could be utilized for those who want to take a chance on no-shows. So why no reservation system for the state ferries?
You know, I think that that's something that we're definitely been looking into. One of the other ideas that I've floated past the director, David Mosley, who's an amazing director of the ferries and really pushing the envelope in terms of cost effectiveness and work with the employees and making sure that we have a good working environment. The idea of being able to have more apps available with more information of how to access information on how many people are already in line. So you know whether it's worth your time and effort to get into line at all. But we're looking at all of the options to make the system more user-friendly.
So you are talking about a possible reservation system?
I think it's part of the larger conversations of and which routes could you do that on.
Steve has this other question that I was intrigued with because I didn't know about this. He says, I knew this part. WashDOT is supposed to track its progress in reducing miles people drive as well as cutting climate pollution. He continues, yet the WashDOT's primary performance report called the Gray Report, I didn't know about the Gray Report, conspicuously leaves these out. Why does the Gray Report not talk about WashDOT's progress in reducing miles people drive and reductions in climate pollution?
It's actually, the full name of it is called the Gray Notebook. So if you look online, it is an amazing compilation of data on every aspect of the agency and its assets. I think it's a good point that it doesn't have it in there.
Will it be in there in the future?
I think we'll have to look at how to get that in there.
Lynn Peterson, thank you so much for stopping by.
We really
appreciate it. Lynn Peterson is Washington State's Secretary of Transportation. This is KUOW Seattle.